Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
Members of the United States Congress, thank you very much. And to my fellow citizens, America is back. This is my fifth such speech to Congress. And once again, I look at the Democrats in front of me, and I realize there is absolutely nothing I can say to make them happy or to make them stand or smile or applaud. Nothing I can do. I could find a cure to the most devastating disease, a disease that would wipe out entire nations, or announce the answers to the greatest economy in history, or the stoppage of crime to the lowest levels ever recorded. And these people sitting right here will not clap, will not stand, and certainly will not cheer for these astronomical achievements. They won't do it, no matter what. Five times I've been up here. It's very sad, and it just shouldn't be this way.
It shouldn't be this way. In fact, you know, one of the things is that we all saw last night. By the way, he was getting on them about never praising him after you had Al Green get ejected and the protest and all this silliness and, you know, the... I still can't figure out who came up with the ping pong paddles of protest. Like, and they're black with white lettering, you know, and like somebody's in the back. I got an idea. Here's what we're going to do. And then I try to imagine the scene. You know, they've ordered them because they were printed, right? So somebody had to actually put an order in it. I mean, God, does Kinko's even exist? I don't know. Wherever you get things made, digital sign arts, physical sign arts, whatever. And they deliver them. And, you know, some staffer is like, sir, we have the ping pong paddles. And then like the other group of Democrats is like waiting to get, you know, which are they going to get more than one? Will they get to pick their phrase? You know, they're saying, and I feel like they're in the back room somewhere and like, bring forth the holy ping pong paddles of protest so that we may dispense the armaments. And then they go in there, you know, oh, we're going to get him. We are going to get him. You see what we got here? I got a ping pong paddle. It says unhappy things. You take that, Mr. President. And I got to imagine J.D. Vance, and because you don't really hear from the vice president or the speaker, you know, you hear from the president. And they're all looking at this thinking, oh, thank you. Thank you. You just totally gifted us even more voters. It's the best. Okay, so back to the actual conversation. You know, the Dems will never be satisfied. The things that they chose not to stand up for, they couldn't even cheer for the kid who's beating cancer, who got a Secret Service, like, you know, honorary commission. You can't cheer for renaming a forest after, you know, the name of the, was it the husband, I think, of the woman who was, you know, that was killed, the police officer. I forget which one. There's a couple of different stories last night. But you can't cheer for the guy going to the service academy? Like, what? What? You can't cheer when President Trump reads the letter from Zelensky that I think is 80% probably a real thing. You know, and talking about ending the war, you can't cheer for, like, you could not have looked more prune-faced. And look, it's you just got to be a person. Be a person. You know, if you call it the way you see it, if you're honest, but do they really oppose everything? I mean, don't you have to find your moments and stand up, and not to stand up to protest with your old man cane, but to, you know, like, and get thrown out, but just to celebrate something, you know, find something. Anyway, the announcements of policy were very, I mean, there was a lot. It was a great speech. It really was. And I am just, for people who might either just be tuning in or, you know, like, this is the first time listening to the station. That's fine. Great. Welcome. Glad to have you.
We don't normally talk about national politics all the time. I talk a lot about local news, city council, county commission, all that kind of stuff. Today is a little different because for obvious reasons. But if you're just tuning in, you know, one of the things you'll learn about me is I never voted for Trump in a primary, but I voted for him in the presidential elections, if that helps you understand where I'm at. I've been a huge critic of him and still am. And when he does something great, I will celebrate it. Like, that's how you should be. When Biden did something right, you should celebrate it. When Biden did something dumb, you should talk about it. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. Be reasonable, be fair, be honest. Anyway, back to the speech last night with the things that I thought were quite good, quite interesting. Actually, in just a second, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives first. John?
Still no accidents to let you know about right now. It looks like I-10 is actually flowing smoothly. I-110 is looking good. But still seeing those delays on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navar Beach Bridge. I'd say a 10 to 11 minute delay there. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
If you wanted to give a speech that was going to tout the highlights of the things that you have done, the massive number of executive orders and executive actions done in just the first 6 weeks, and like try to persuade people that what you're doing is the most reasonable thing, I mean, it worked. It was a great piece of showmanship last night. And the Democrats helped him do it. Like, you couldn't have paid them to help him better. They were so good at this. And so everything from, you know, ending the EV mandate and getting unions back, like, this is...
electric vehicle mandate, saving our auto workers and companies from economic destruction.
I just stole 5 million votes from you. Thank you so much.
We ordered all federal workers to return to the office. They will either show up for work in person or be removed from their job.
Seems pretty straightforward.
And 2 days ago, I signed an order making English the official language of the United States of America.
Also, again, seems pretty straightforward.
I renamed the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, stop it.
America. America.
I'm not saying everything was right. I'm not saying he got it all right. God, I just... oh. I know in the grand scheme of what matters, that is such a tiny thing, but it's my backyard. It is the map on my phone. It is the dumbest of dumb bleepery there could possibly be. Just why, sir? Why? Anyway, back to the things that are right.
We've ended the tyranny of so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion policies all across the entire federal government and indeed the private sector and our military.
Oh, by the way, the weather beeps, the beep, beep, beep that was in the other clip. I was watching Channel 3, and a couple of them I went back and clipped off of YouTube to fix it, and I forgot to do that one. So I just, you know, that's just as it happened here in Pensacola. You know, that's the real life thing. Hiring by merit, not by race or gender.
We believe that whether you are a doctor, an accountant, a lawyer, or an air traffic controller, you should be hired and promoted based on skill and competence, not race or gender.
Yes. Yes.
Very important.
Absolutely. And people say, well, he discriminates. Against whom? Look at his cabinet. Look at who's in it. Look at, I mean, if, women particularly, if you think he's anti-woman, look at how many women he hires. You just can't make, it does, it's nonsense to say it. Anyway, banning men from women's sports, and that horrible story about Peyton McNabb. I had not heard that story. I played volleyball in college. Women should never play against men at that level. It's dangerous. Period. It just the speed with which you can spike a volleyball as a guy. I mean, not me, but you know the competitive D1 players or like the Olympic players. Women should not be playing against them in that environment. It's dangerous. That's one of the problems of men and women's sports. It's not just the demeaning of them and the taking away of their ability to win and the ruination of what is women's sports. It's the risk. I mean, look, if you've ever played, like I played softball a lot, played college, or not college, played like church league softball, okay? And if you've ever played softball where it's women playing against women, of course I haven't, or co-ed or all men, you play differently. You'd better. Because if you play, like, spikes up hardball against a co-ed team, you should get beat up. Anyway, back to his speech from last night. You know, talking about reopening gas leases and pipelines and power plants and bringing down the cost of energy, therefore bringing down inflation, doing a major part of that. That's right. Oh, that I thought it was a kind of a gaffe about Elon Musk, you know, ending, we're going to get rid of these officials who are unwilling, these unelected officials. Oops. But I think you probably knew that one going in. Okay. More substantial things. The more substantial things are like the tariff stories, right? So, yes, tariffs are going to hurt in the short term. But tariffs then incentivize people to come here and build. Like the Honda story, you know, onshoring domestic production is the goal. He's not trying to create a trade war. He's trying to incentivize the reinvigoration of American domestic production. And to have a key level playing field.
This system is not fair to the United States and never was. And so on April 2nd, I wanted to make it April 1st, but I didn't want to be accused of April Fool's Day. Just one day cost us a lot of money. But we're going to do it in April. I'm a very superstitious person.
That was weird.
April 2nd, reciprocal tariffs kick in. And whatever they tariff us, other countries, we will tariff them. That's reciprocal, back and forth. Whatever they tax us, we will tax them.
Just make it fair. Fairness is a big theme for him, right? If you look at, you know, who's paying more for military, for which military situation matters the most, having, you know, similar levels of access to markets or not, you know, if we want to put an import tariff against Chinese or against Mexican or against Canadian goods or against steel or aluminum, and somebody else responds, I mean, I don't think he's expecting that, right? He's not going to say that's unfair. What he's going to say is, we're trying to teach you a point. We're trying to create an end result. We're trying to create leverage so that you help us thwart the fentanyl or, you know, whatever the particular case is. Border crossings are way down. I have a hard time believing they're as low as they say they are, but still, they are way down.
Since taking office, my administration has launched the most sweeping border and immigration crackdown in American history, and we quickly achieved the lowest numbers of illegal border crossers ever recorded. Thank you. The media and our friends in the Democrat Party kept saying we needed new legislation. We must have legislation to secure the border. But it turned out that all we really needed was a new president.
It's a good line. It's a pretty good line. And then, you know, designating cartels as terrorist organizations. Oh, along with the announcement that,
because of our tariff policies being imposed on them, think of this, handed over to us 29 of the biggest cartel leaders in their country. That has never happened before. They want to make us happy.
That's
first
true.
First time ever.
That happened. Leaders of cartels just handed over. Like, you know, the Mexican president, Sheinbaum, couldn't get rid of them fast enough. In fact, she's getting criticized in her own country for expeditiously kind of circumventing the legal protections against deporting these people. And she's like, I don't care, you're out. You know, who's going to really complain about cartel heads getting removed and sent, you know, elsewhere? So anyway, and then there was all the silly stuff, you know, which it was fun, but it didn't resonate with me. All the giveaways and, the, you know, the kid and the human props kind of stuff. I always think that's kind of beside the point. But talking about the Panama Canal, and he's right, and talking about Greenland, and he's right, and Abbeygate, getting that guy. Like, it was a lot in this speech. Were there problems? Oh, sure. I mean, of course. You know, the promise on Golden Dome, that's never going to happen. I think that's ridiculous. The reason we don't have it is because it can't be done. But, you know, and some of the minor things like Rubio getting 100 votes. Well, 99, because J.D. Vance was the vice president, but he doesn't own. Who cares? I mean, literally, that's the level of nitpicky. In fact, this is a funny example. This is not from the State of the Union address or whatever you want to call it. CBS did a fact check on Trump's claim that he's the only president who gave none of Ukraine's land to Putin's Russia as president. And they called that false because the previous presidents didn't give the land to Russia. He just took it and they didn't stop him. Are you kidding me? Georgia, Crimea, Eastern Ukraine. He's right. They took the land. Well, the U.S. didn't give it to. Oh my God. Like that, if that's where you have to draw the criticism, and trust me, as you know, I'm not shy about criticizing the president. It's withering. So we can put away the ping pong paddle, the holy ping pong paddles of protest. You got to know that's going to be like cherished mementos on the desks of all of these congressmen and women. They're going to think we did great. That's the cane. That's the cane he shook at the president that got him ejected. Look at it. Worship it. Pray in front of it. Let it bless you. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Let it bless you. I hear transgressors coming in there somewhere with the ping pong.
I hadn't been thinking about that, but maybe you're right.
No accidents to let you know about right now. Still dealing with some heavy congestion traffic on 98 going eastbound just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge. I'd make about a 12 to 15 minute delay there. Also, Highway 29, both northbound and southbound, before you get to 9 miles, seeing about a 2-3 minute delay, but I wanted you to be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. You know, Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, and Plumbing, they can take care of all of those needs. All that kind of like complicated stuff inside your house, they can take care of that. And they have been doing that for 55 years all along the Gulf Coast, everywhere from, you know, Panama City to Tallahassee to Pensacola and Gulf Breeze and, of course, Baldwin County and then even Mobile. They just kind of that whole territory they view as their backyard where they want to help everybody. Professional service, show up on time, do what they say they're going to do, help you understand everything before they do it and make sure it's what you need. And also, right now, for just this month of March, they've got $1,000 off mini-split air conditioners, which is kind of nice because we've got March Madness coming up and you can get that installed. Cool down your garage, your sunroom, or your workshop this summer. If you've, you know, kind of always thought, man, I just have to endure summer in these spaces, well, you can cool them down. That's the whole point. $1,000 off those mini-splits. Find out more at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As America continues to endure sin and debauchery of just about every type, I find myself evaluating my patriotism. For many Christians, it's become increasingly difficult to express patriotism when the powers that be are wholeheartedly endorsing the wickedness of same-sex marriage, abortion, transgenderism, and such the like. However, for me, my patriotism is primarily rooted in gratitude for our country's biblical foundation. My patriotism stems from our country's past in spite of her present. I love that our coins say, "In God we trust," and our pledge still includes one nation under God. Our national anthem declares, "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God do we trust." If we want God's continued blessing, we must get back to Him, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Naughty, 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 you filthy old sunker.
¶¶
David Wayne is in our newsroom with a couple of headlines for us before we get to the bottom of the hour. David?
Well, today is Ash Wednesday. Catholics marking the beginning of Lent today. And starting on May 7th, anybody over the age of 18 looking to board a domestic flight, Andrew, will have to have a real ID. I think those have been mandated in Florida quite a while. But
that's all we got, yeah.
But if you don't have a real ID for whatever reason, you won't be able to get on a domestic flight.
Interesting. And it's hard, especially as a woman, if you change names, like get married, to get real ID verification. You have to prove some stuff.
I'm Chris Foster. Republicans cheer, Democrats jeer during President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress. He talked about border security, foreign policy, the military.
I am pleased to report that in January, the U.S. Army had its single best recruiting month in 15 years.
Cost cutting.
We've taken back the money and reduced our debt to fight inflation and other things.
And draining the swamp.
The days of rule by unelected bureaucrats are over.
Well, some Democrats laughed at that, pointing at Trump cost-cutting advisor Elon Musk, unelected. Some walked out during the speech. Texas Congressman Al Green was escorted out. Michigan Senator Alyssa Slotkin with the Democrats' official response.
President Trump is trying to deliver an unprecedented giveaway to his billionaire friends.
President Trump predicts new tariffs on imports will cause a little disturbance, but it'll be worth it, and it won't be much. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 63 degrees. It is a beautiful sunny morning here in Pensacola. But last night was a little rough. There was some severe storms in the area, and a tornado may have touched down in Santa Rosa County. Some damage was reported in the 1700 block of Village Parkway and Gulf Breeze last night. Officials say there was some storm damage and downed trees, but it did look like that homes in that area escaped any serious damage. No injuries were reported, and Channel 3 reported seeing two trailers that had been blown over and a trash bin that was stuck in a tree. Governor Ron DeSantis gave the State of the State address yesterday. He said Florida leads the country in tackling illegal immigration, economic policy, and tourism as well.
42 million visitors come to the state of Florida. This includes 3.3 million visitors from Canada. That's not much of a boycott in my book. Maybe they wanted to get a glimpse of what a Stanley Cup winning hockey team actually looks like.
And the governor said that Florida has the number one ranked economy now 2 years running. He also said the state leads in entrepreneurship, new business formations, and GDP growth among large states. The governor also expressed some support for an initiative to either lower or eliminate local property taxes, which he says are now straining homeowners across the state. And as the legislative session continues, lawmakers now turn their focus to crafting a $115 billion state budget. Escambia County investigators looking into a home invasion that was reported on Young Street. The sheriff's office says that was reported overnight on Monday. Deputies responded so quickly they caught one suspect fleeing the scene.
We're still investigating it. It's very, very, very rare that we have just a random home invasion at one particular location. So we're looking into exactly why they picked that location and the details surrounding it.
Sheriff Simmons says Christopher Albritton was arrested, and he now faces several charges, including home invasion, grand theft, and possession of a weapon by a felon. He remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Investigators are still looking for one suspect in that case. Well, Florida's general revenue for January fell a little bit short, coming in at about $4.184 billion. That's $31.4 million less than expected. Sales taxes, which are a big part of that revenue, were down $10.3 million. Corporate income taxes were also short by $18.8 million. However, earnings from state investments were a bit of a bright spot. They exceeded forecasts by $25.8 million. Economists are updating their budget projections March 14th. That'll help shape the state budget negotiations for the next fiscal year. Florida State University and the ACC have finalized a settlement, ending a year of legal battles. The agreement will create additional revenue for schools based on television viewership and reduce exit penalties for member schools. Clemson University also approved the settlement, addressing the ongoing litigation over the ACC's revenue sharing agreement. Well, after nearly 9 months in space, astronauts Sonny Williams and Butch Wilmore will be headed back to Earth later this month. From the International Space Station during a NASA news event, Wilmore answered a question about Elon Musk's claim that the Biden administration turned down a SpaceX offer to bring them home sooner.
We have no information on that, though, whatsoever. What was offered, what was not offered, who it was offered to, how that process has went.
Now, Wilmore and Williams launched on a Boeing Starliner flight, and that was all the way back in June of last year, and they planned to stay at the station for a week at the time. Their visit had to be extended when NASA brought the Boeing Starliner back without them for safety reasons. 735 at News Radio, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to let you know about right now, but we're still seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect a 10 to 12 minute delay there. And also 98 eastbound from the Navarre Beach Bridge going east all the way through Windhaven Beach. Expect a 10 to 12 minute delay on that also. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will see a nice sunny day today with temperatures near 68 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46. On Thursday, plenty of sunshine with a high near 62. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Keeping some clouds around on Friday with a high near 67. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 62 and sunny. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Pensacola. Your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump has imposed 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada, while also doubling the duty on Chinese products to 20%. Beijing retaliated with tariffs of up to 15% on a wide array of U.S. farm exports. It also expanded the number of U.S. companies subject to export controls and other restrictions by about 24. An EY survey of 4,000 executives found that half said they would be willing to pass on up to 2/3 of the added costs from tariffs onto their consumers. Once again, President Trump's 25% tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and the 10% duty on China kicked in yesterday. While speaking with CNBC, Royal Caribbean CEO Jason Liberty said consumers still want to spend money on cruises, even as President Trump's tariff hikes threaten the health of the broader economy. He said Royal Caribbean is seeing consumers consistently continue to book trips and shop while on its ships. Futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news. A CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose. And millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Is your child getting the personalized attention they need to excel in math? Mathnasium has a solution for students of all skill levels. They assess each child's strengths and weaknesses, creating a customized learning plan. The Mathnasium method gives them the critical thinking skills they need to thrive, with the option to attend face-to-face online sessions or come to one of their 1,000 neighborhood learning centers. Mathnasium, Pensacola, Destin, and Niceville. Mathnasium, changing lives through math. Learn more at mathnasium.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable?
Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and on the line with us from Tampa, where he is participating in the Leadership Florida Conference, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. How are you?
I'm great. So just before we get into all the things that you and I are going to talk about, maybe just give folks the 30-second, you know, what is Leadership Florida, and why'd you bother going there?
Yeah, Leadership Florida is like the programs you might have heard of, Leadership Pensacola or Northwest Florida. It's the state level group where about 45 people from all of the state and all different walks of life all come together to not only network, but to learn about our state and to build relationships. And as you know, Andrew, from whether it's politics or anything else, when we're stuck over in the central time zone as a state, you know, it's pretty important to get out and build these relationships, and probably a little harder for us than anywhere else in the state. We've got great members. I mean, just a couple of examples of the leader of the Miami Children's Trust is in our group. I've obviously had some conversations with him. Erica Donald, Byron Donald's wife, who's heavy into education, is in our group, and many, many others. And so it's just a good way for the city of Pensacola to continue to stay connected to the state level and build relationships when they count and when they matter, to be able to pick up the phone and call someone.
Yeah, the ostensive reason for doing leadership programs is the information that you get, the education that you get, which is great. But the real value of these, everybody will tell you, is the people you meet, the connections you make, the relationships, and then the people you can reach out to when you need information or you want to get something done. And it is invaluable. So that's cool. I want to start with something that's probably to the general public, maybe a smaller issue, but I know you well enough to know that this is actually a major transition. You've had a couple of people leave the administration recently. Clark Merritt left, who'd longtime port director, assistant and then port director. And then, of course, we had David Forte leave, was your assistant city manager. Before that, he was in traffic. But you had a major loss of personnel from Alex Smith, who was your chief of staff. He's gone over to UWF. And, I know you guys have been tight like thieves for a long time. Though you're happy, I'm sure, for him, there's a part of you that's like, oh, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, listen, I think especially as I had, great folks as I was in through my 20s and 30s in journalism, and certainly, people like Quint, and I worked for them. Kind of like what you just said about Leadership Florida. I mean, half the battle is the fun of the job and getting things done. The other half is building and growing as a person. And so my joke about Alex has been the the next best thing to keeping someone forever for the rest of time is for people in our community to build their skills and develop and then go make even bigger impact somewhere else. Right. Yeah. And that's what we all want. And realistically is if you're not going to be with us or wherever you are, if that person grows and develops, isn't going to stay with you forever. The next best thing and a very, very close second is to go do great things somewhere else that helps the city, the region, the community. So I know he'll do that at UWF, and certainly excited for him.
Yeah, and I mean, Alex is super capable, and he's the only person in your administration that made you look old.
exactly. That's right.
I just have a small recommendation request having to do with red light cameras. I know you don't have data yet for last month, and we're going to get that on a next week or something like that. Could we maybe set up a website on the Pensacola page that just tracks, this is what the initial data was before we had them installed. This is what the, the warning time data was. And this is the citations we've given out on monthly is probably good enough per intersection or approach. And even include things like how many this month did PPD decline, just so we can track it over time along with you and don't have to always ask you, to publish the data.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. Of course, from the get-go, we had that conversation from a tracking standpoint. And listen, it's self-policing for us. I want everyone to see either how bad they're doing,
right?
Because, you know, what's the big stereotypical false myth about this? This is a money grab. Well, if it's a money grab, then we have nothing to hide. We don't care. You can count revenue. You can do anything you want because we know where our goal is. Our goal is zero of these. And so if there's revenue that's generated, that what are we going to spend it on? Police and fire and improving intersections. So, you know, we're just going to be using dollars of people being irresponsible to try to make our city safer. So,
and that could even be part of the website. I mean, you know, how much money did you collect? How much money did the service collect? And where did the money? I mean, all of that, you know, inform people.
Right. Exactly. So yes, well, we really wanted two things. Remember, we were trying to make sure we worked out the kinks of all of the intersections to make sure, you know, even the ones operating, and we still have one, I think, that's not up yet. And then second is, yeah, just to have enough of a sample size. But philosophically, absolutely. I think we're on the same page. Like you said, I don't want to be the manual reporter of this every week at a press conference. You know, I mean, we're happy right. to share those things all the time. We're just waiting till next week so we had a full month. We didn't
course.
Want to confuse people because, you know, we would have put out data and then people would have said, oh, it was only this many in February. No, it was 6 days short of a full month. So we were just trying to keep the messaging and of what we're trying to tell people clean by sharing it next week. But no, great idea. And something we've talked about from the get-go. And we'll probably get that up once we have a little bit bigger sample size.
John can confirm that earlier when I mentioned this on the show, I said, I bet they're already thinking about this, even as I'm suggesting it. And you are 100%. That's exactly right. I appreciate that. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Hang on for just a second, D.C. Let's get John in here with Traffic on the Fives.
No accidents to let you know about. Seeing slowdowns on I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Expect about a 10 to 15 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. It seems to me like, well, one of the other stories that I know, I think I was maybe the first one to, like, in a news capacity to report it, and I don't know whether it's a big story or not, but seeing the I-beams moved underneath Graffiti Bridge is a big deal. To me, it looks like a major issue, but I assume the bridge is safe. You've said that the railroad has told you that the bridge is safe, and it certainly has brought up again this conversation about the very slow progress that has been able to be made on getting a warning system to stop the trucks from hitting it. But just on the safety level, as far as you know, the bridge is safe, right?
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Obviously, you know, again, if we were given any indication that it wasn't, or we're even unsure, and again, our people, I think this is the biggest misperception. We do not, I don't mean from you, but just from the general public, I think you understand that this is the rail company's bridge. You have to think
right.
about that. We don't own the bridge, right? So it's not ours. The same way that the state owns Three Mile Bridge, the Graffiti Bridge itself is owned by the rail company. They possess it. We couldn't go work on it if we wanted to without their permission, for example, right? It's not ours. So we could close the road. But what do we do when there's a strike? It is their duty when there is a strike to have the bridge inspected both by themselves and by another third party.
Okay.
Someone else has to come in that's not them to look at it as well. So, you know, in a sense, to your point, hey, you see something that looks a little off, obviously always let us know. We'll never be mad because someone, you know, tried to alert of a potential safety issue.
Right.
It's important for our listeners and readers and our citizens to understand, you know, there's very limited things that we have to do with any of the maintenance or operation of this bridge. The only thing we can work on, segueing to your second part, is, you know, how do we try to decrease the amount of strikes on the bridge? And that's been slow moving just because of how many layers. And you probably heard my press conference, and for listeners that didn't, we have been told by FDOT that this warning system will be the first in the state of Florida, which I still don't believe.
It's hard to
be
believe.
Honest,
yeah,
like,
I agree.
This entire, I told them that. I was like, can you double check that before I go tell people that? Because
right.
I mean, it's hard to believe that there's no bridge in Florida that has an actual warning system that doesn't have warning signs. So, you know, I don't know if that's, we should be celebrating that or not, Andrew.
Yeah, we're uniquely bad at navigating traffic infrastructure, apparently, here in,
right.
in Pensacola.
I mean, but I can see why, right? I mean,
right.
this is an old bridge. It's
right.
been there a long time, and it's only two lanes. I mean, so, you know, anything that's been built in the last, 30, 40 years would probably wouldn't even have this issue, right? So I guess it makes sense in a way, but that's why it's been just layer after layer of, what system goes in? Where does it go on the curb? Is it physical or is it a laser system? Is it, and then where can we put the poles in the ground? Because we need that soil from the state to give them to give it to us. So it's a complicated mess that we can work through. We will work through. It's not going to not happen. It's just lots of layers to an unprecedented thing in the state of Florida, apparently.
And something you've mentioned before, which is totally relevant, is people in boats want to not have to hit something before they're going to the boat ramp because the boats aren't going to go under the bridge, but you don't want, you know, all of these little wrinkles are real problems. I wanted to talk with you about, first of all, kudos to your staff, PPD, everybody involved in the parade. I mean, the parade was great. You could clearly see things had been done to beef up defensive measures. Parking was, it was a mess, but I didn't see it being as much of a mess as I had been worried that it would be. So it seems like it mostly worked out okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you didn't see your 45-minute Andrew McKay spot that we tried to save for you down there, 45 minutes in advance on the south.
No.
You must not have found it. But
I didn't, no.
No, I'm but no, you know what? Honestly, thank you for saying that. And we got a lot of great comments from, I mean, to be honest, and I'm not trying to ignite somebody to send me a negative email, but we really heard very little negative response about the extension of East and West Main Street. And, I mean, when I finished the parade on Saturday and came around Main Street, I mean, it is a completely different animal as it pertains to how safe it is when there isn't all of those cars moving alongside floats and hundreds of people on all four of those corners. I mean, it just looks significantly safer. So we got a lot of comments about just feeling safer. And isn't that what we want? I mean,
right.
At the end of the day,
right.
where you're sleeping, where you're parading, whatever, that should be pretty much everybody, regardless of your party, regardless of your age or your race. We all want to feel safe, and it seemed like that was the feedback we got. And so we'll debrief. We'll see what, you know, if there's anything to get better. And I only kid, if there's something you saw that's a process improvement out there, certainly feel free to email us, and we'll take a look at that when we debrief. All in all, we're very thrilled with the result.
And I feel very dumb because right at the end of the parade, I completely failed to think about how I should have walked a block south and shot video of Main Street closed. It just didn't even occur to me. And now as you're talking about it, I'm like, oh, missed opportunity. So, next year or summer or whenever we have our next parades. We don't have a lot of time on it, but you did get your bids in. They're unverified bids, so you don't want to get too excited about it so far. But bids in on the Baptist property demolition came in under budget enough that you are confident that you're going to be able to do it with the money that's available, right?
Right. We really looked at February 27th as kind of a green light, red light situation, right? Do we feel comfortable enough with the bids or not? We do. And again, they're verifying them, can't share numbers. We have a bid protocol and process that we've got to go through. Can't say who or any of that. But
sure. All
we can tell you is it's a green light. And that, if we were to use my analogy, it's a green light right now, which we're obviously very, very grateful for and happy to hear because now it's just a matter of trying to get this thing done, get a donation agreement done, and get those buildings demoed.
One quick thing before we get to the lightning round. Do we have a target date to start the recycling program yet?
We were looking at mid-April. It might push to May 1st, but you're going to hear before in the coming weeks, you're going to start getting information from us about pricing.
Got it.
You're going to start getting inundated with things in the mail about it. So you'll start hearing about it in the next probably 30 days.
I just suddenly had in my brain that it was March, and I'm like, it can't be March because we're here already. So, thank you so much.
Yeah,
and I know
we're talking about kind of a big formal launch no later than the first week of April. So it could be March, could be first week of April, and then the actual service probably starting in May.
Got it. We always like to end with some fun lightning round. To the extent that you've ever had the experience, is DC Reeves at all afraid of the basement, either hurries up the stairs or dreads going down?
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, and, you know, I guess we always had that kid in you when you turn the light off, but do you even have a basement?
I don't, no.
Do we have those in Florida?
No, yeah, no. Yeah, very few people have basements.
I guess when I'm traveling in the Midwest, yes, I'm nervous when I'm in the basement.
All right, the kid in you comes out. All right. You're walking down, let's say, Palafox. You see a penny on the ground. You leave it. You put it in your pocket. What's happened to that penny? How important is a penny to you?
I should stop reading data. This is what I think about with a penny. I was like, at 40 years old, am I going to throw my back out for this penny? Is it going to be,
yes.
You know, what's the risk? What is the value, the profit loss here of picking up this penny? So
you don't.
So the next question would be, what's the minimum,
Well, what is your minimum coinage? What coin do you stoop for?
I'm willing to throw my back out, I don't know, for a quarter, I guess.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I 100% agree with you. And last one is leftover pizza sitting on the counter. Do you leave it sit out overnight? Do you put it in the fridge? Do you reheat it? Do you eat it cold? What's your protocol?
Normally in the fridge, and then the output ends up being either cooked or cold based on time. But I'm good either way. Actually, I'll do it either way. If I got time, but I got to do the oven. I can't do the microwave. Got to do the oven.
Okay. So not the microwave, but in the oven. So you're kind of a pizza eating omnivore, like anything goes.
Right. I know, which is probably a sad state of affairs.
No. But, I admire the diversity. I mean, that's an inclusive answer, and I kind of like that. Mayor D.C. Reeves, sir, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again and have a next week, and have a great and productive trip in Tampa, and travel home safely.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, expect about a 7 to 9 minute delay there just due to congestion. But the biggest delay right now we're dealing with is if you're on Highway 29 south of 9 Mile Road going southbound, you can see maybe a 10 to 12 minute delay just for congestion. So be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Hey, if you've got a plumbing problem of any kind, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet or turn on the water, call Barbary Plumbing. They'll come out and fix it. In fact, they'll fix the fix that you fixed poorly. Guilty, but they were there for me. So they were fantastic. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When you buy a Subaru, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying an investment that holds its value and something that will last a long, long time. In fact, according to Experian Automotive, 96% of Subaru Crosstrek and Forester vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. And during the Subaru Lot to Love event, you can get 2.9 for 48 months on 2024 Crosstrek models. Or get 1.9% APR financing for 72 months on 2024 Forester Wilderness models. No matter which one you choose, both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence on the road ahead. Love begins with trust, and you're going to love the trustworthy Crosstrek and Forester Wilderness from Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Longevity based on Experian Automotive vehicles in operation versus total new registrations for model year 2014 through 2023 as of December 2023.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top of the line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Bert 1, this is Eagle 1.
What have you got? 2 Japanese zeros, sir. 2 what?
What? That's such a great move. I love the Final Countdown. Somebody says, what coinage are you willing to throw your back out for is a brilliant comic bit. You guys need to do a tour. That's funny. I like that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. Four Democratic mayors of sanctuary cities are scheduled to testify today before the House Oversight Committee. That includes Mayor Eric Adams of New York, Chicago's Brandon Johnson, Denver Mayor Mike Johnston, and Michelle Wu from Boston. They'll be speaking over immigration policies.
All right, very good. Also, somebody texted me a question. What about like 9th Avenue and Langley, Devil's Triangle for red light cameras? I think that's county infrastructure. You'd have to ask them.
Local talk.